Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
All right, as they're finishing up fellowship, and if you have your Bible, if you would be turning with me to the book of Genesis in chapter number 37. Genesis in chapter number 37. We'll be looking here at the story of Joseph. One that's probably going to be very familiar to most of you, but one that's relevant as we get ready to head into a new year. We think about what Joseph went through and what he was able to accomplish. And what we can accomplish if we follow his example here in Scripture. Right. Has everybody found your place there in Genesis 37? All right. I'm going to let you remain seated this morning as we read the Scripture, because we've got quite a lot of Scripture in here this morning. But we'll be starting there in verse number 2 of chapter 37. It says, "These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and the sons of Zilpah, and his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obedience to my sheaf. And the brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, and his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto them, Here I am. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go into Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren, and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him far off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say that some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then there passed by the Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted Joseph up out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Let us pray. Dearly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to spread your word this morning, Lord. I just pray you would give me the words you would have me to say, Lord. May they be received as your words, Lord, and nothing more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here we see the story of Joseph and his coat of many colors. Does anybody ever feel like Joseph? Does anybody ever feel like that you've done nothing wrong, but yet you're hated? All Joseph did was tell about a dream, and it made matters worse and worse. I think a lot of times we feel like Joseph, because maybe we express the vision that God has given to us, or what God's laid on our hearts, and people don't like it. And here we see that it was his blood brothers, but for us, a lot of times, not only our blood family, but also sometimes our Christian brethren are the ones that complain the most. They're the ones that get jealous the most. It's not the world, but it's those that are inside the church. And it always hurts more when we hear that criticism from a fellow Christian than from a non-believer. Kind of like Joseph here. Joseph, it tells us, was 17 years old. God gave him a dream. Told his dream just to his brothers. And boy, did they become jealous and hate him. Even to the point they threw him in a pit with no water. I think a lot of times we can relate with that. A lot of times it seems like while we're not physically in a pit, a lot of times it may feel that way, doesn't it? Feel like we're all alone. We're just in this place by ourselves, that there's nobody there to support us. There's nobody there maybe to talk to. We're just kind of there trying to accomplish what God has given us. But as we read on through the story, Joseph, we will see that God was with him, even in a pit, even in spite of what his brothers would do to him. God was with Joseph. As we read on through the story, we see that they took his coat of many colors, dipped it in blood, and took it back to their father. They told him that they found the coat, but didn't find Joseph. Because of the blood on it, some animal must have got a hold of him, tore his body to shreds. If you will, flip forward to chapter 39. Remember, Joseph was sold to the Ishmaelites. They were headed to Egypt to sell their goods. When they got to Egypt, they sold him also. So here we see that Joseph was going from being the youngest son in a wealthy family to now being a slave. We'll start reading there in chapter 39 at verse number 1. It says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in the sight, and he served him, and made him overseer of his house, and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer of his house, all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and knew not aught what he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." Now think about this. Here we have Jacob. Life's going good. He's living in his father's house. One day he goes out to check on, do what his father tells him. His brothers gang up on him, strip him of his coat, throw him in a pit, and sell him as a slave. That would be what we would call rock bottom, right? in today's lingo, we would say human trafficking, right? You get captured, you get hauled off somewhere into a foreign country, you have no friends, no family, nobody, and you're a slave. Now, the first thing most of us would do is start asking God, why me? What did I do wrong? We'd start complaining, wouldn't we? And we'd probably lose our faith in God, wouldn't we? Instead of trusting in Him, we would probably start trying to figure out a way in our own mind of how to get out of there. How am I going to break free? How am I going to get out of this Egyptian's house? Where am I going to go somewhere that's safe? But that's not what Joseph did. Joseph was there. He was a slave. The bottom of the bottom, right? But yet, the Bible tells us that he excelled as a slave. Now, that's not generally a compliment most of us would think that we would want to be said about us, right? We want to excel, but probably not as a slave. But that's what Joseph did. So much so that Potiphar here made him overseer of all that he had. And the Lord blessed him. And Potiphar got to the point that he trusted him that Joseph oversaw everything, and Potiphar didn't even know what he had. Potiphar didn't keep up with it. He didn't see a need. The last verse there we read, verse 6, says, "And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught what he had." That's what you call trust. You turn everything over. Your bank accounts, your livestock, the rest of your servants, your houses, everything that you have, he put in this man's control. He didn't demand daily reports, weekly reports. He trusted him. He just handed it over and said, "Take care of it for me." All Potiphar had to worry about was what was for supper. So we see that when we're in God's will, God protects us. God's favor is there with us. God's favor was with Joseph even in the pit. God's favor was with Joseph even as a slave. Even in a foreign country. Let's continue reading there in verse number 7. And it says, "It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wrotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, to lie with her or to be with her." We see Joseph, he's doing the right thing. The devil has come. He's put this opportunity before him. And we see Joseph following God and refusing. So the second thing I see here is that when blessings come from God, look out, because the devil's coming right behind them. The devil's going to find what he thinks is going to be our biggest weakness to attack us with. He doesn't attack us on our strong side. He attacks us on our weakness. But we see Joseph here is still being strong even on his weak side. So we read on the story, we see that she has continues to proposition him, and he refuses. To the point that it makes the wife mad, and she goes and tells Potiphar that he did it, even though Joseph didn't. So we see that Joseph gets thrown into jail for a crime he didn't commit. Now there again, most of us, if we got thrown in jail today, we would not be very happy people, would we? Especially if it was for something we didn't do. We were wrongly convicted of a crime we didn't commit. But Jacob knows that God's favor will still be there with him. No matter where he's at, doesn't matter that God's with him, because he did what was right and he's in God's will. So we see here he was Life was good. He was thrown into a pit. He was sold as a slave. He rose up in the ranks to become the overseer of everything that his master had. And yet he gets thrown in jail again. Kind of seems like a vicious cycle, doesn't it? Kind of reminds me of our lives today. We go through the valleys. We come out of the valleys. We go to the mountaintop. And of course, once you hit the mountaintop, you go over the top, and what happens? You go back down into a valley. If we'll skip ahead to verse 21, chapter 39. It says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." Do y'all see a pattern here? "And Joseph, the keeper of the prison, committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." The Lord's blessing Joseph no matter where he's at, right? Because he is in the wheel. He's where God wants him to be. Everybody agree with that? Now, if we were Joseph, what do you think you would be doing? Do you think you would be like Joseph and be... Do you think you would stay the course? Do you think you would be excelling at everything you did to the point that all these non-believers, these Egyptians, can see that God's hand is on Joseph? Where Joseph is at is irregardless. He's in God's will. God is there with him. Just like for us, no matter where we're at, God is with us. As long as if we are in God's will, we have God's favor. So even though God may put us in a situation that we do not understand, his favor is still upon us. We see that so long as we stay faithful and obedient to God, God can use us. God used Joseph. If we continue reading the story, we see that Joseph was in prison. Pharaoh threw his baker and his butler down in jail for 3 days. They both had a vision, a dream. Joseph interpreted the dream for him and told him what happened. One was restored back to the palace, the other one was killed, just as he interpreted the dream. And he told him, when he gave him the dream, he says, "Remember me down here when Pharaoh restores you to his palace." Of course, they agreed. But the butler forgot about him for 2 years after he was restored. You ever feel like that? You do something great for people, you show kindness, you do something for them, and they forget about it. Well, as we continue reading on, we know that Pharaoh also had a dream. And when none of the magicians, none of the sorcerers in Egypt could interpret the dream, the butler remembered Joseph and his interpretation. Butler tells Pharaoh. Pharaoh pulls Joseph out of the prison. Now Joseph has made it from being a slave into Pharaoh's house. And he goes on to interpret the dream. He tells Pharaoh what happens, that there's going to be good years and then there's going to be a famine. So he puts Joseph in charge of the food. So we see what all Joseph did and how he was successful, and the fact that he was blessed. When he became blessed, we see that others become jealous. And we know when that blessing comes that the devil's right behind it. As we see in Joseph's life, when thrown in the pit, when he got thrown into, when he was sold into slavery, and then when he was thrown into jail, God was still there with him. We also know that the devil cannot steal God's blessings unless we let him. And saying that, I want to give you a couple of things here that we do not see in Scripture that Joseph did that we don't need to do. Joseph stayed faithful. He was obedient to God. He had a positive attitude. It's never recorded in here that he complained. We never see him praying to God saying, "Why me? What did I do? I didn't lie with Potiphar's wife. Why am I getting punished? What did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong? Why am I here? Why am I not back there in my father's house?" We never see him asking the question, why. He just trusts God, that God's in control and God has him right where he wants him. Just as we should be. We also don't see bitterness in Joseph. I mean, think about it. Joseph had plenty of reasons to be bitter. His brothers betrayed him. The butler forgot about him for 2 years. The Bible even tells us in the story of Elijah that Elijah had a pity party. Even after he had done great things for God, he just kind of come, sat down under the tree and said, "Okay, God, I'm done. Come take me. I'm tired. I'm ready to go." We never see that in Joseph. Joseph stayed the course. Joseph trusted in God. So as we think about 2018 being closed out and we start in a new year in 2019, I ask you to think about Joseph. Think about your life. Are you where God wants you to be? Not where you want to be, but where God wants you to be. Because if we're where God wants us to be, God's favor is upon us. God will protect us. Now, if we're out of his will and we're where we want to be, that's another story. So as we start 2019, here's my challenge to you. Are you a Joseph? Are you trusting in God? Are you saying, "Okay, God, I don't know why I'm here. You put me here. I'm going to make the best of it. Everything I do, Lord, I want people to see you in me." That's what Joseph did. Even when he was a prisoner, they saw God in him. If they were to come in here today and arrest us for being in church and take us all down to the jailhouse, would the other prisoners see Jesus in us? Or would we be fussing and fuming and cussing and acting just like the rest of the inmates? Would people see something different about us? Would we be the one sitting there going, "Okay, God, you put me in prison. I guess there's somebody here you want me to witness to. There's somebody here that needs to hear something from me or see something different in me." Or would we give up and say, "Oh, Lord, it's not worth it. I got arrested for going to church. I'm never going to open my Bible again. I'm never going to mention your name again. I'm done. I've hit rock bottom. It's not worth it." Which would we be? I imagine most of us at first would probably be the latter and be complaining and grumbling and thinking, "What did I do wrong? Why me, Lord? Why?" Instead of sitting there saying, "All right, Lord, I'm in a new place. I've got a whole bunch of new people I'm going to come in contact with that I can witness to, but otherwise, I'd have never touched." Right? Because generally, we don't have access to the inmates to be a positive influence on them or to the jailers. So when things happen in our lives, how do we view them? Do we have a Joseph view? That I'm here, I'm going to make the best of it, and I'm going to excel and let others see God in me? Or is it like the little cartoons where we see the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other? Which one is going to come out in us? If we were Joseph, how good of a witness would we be? He was taken and sold into slavery and began his journey to Egypt with no Bible and no friends. He had no support network. And in the Old Testament, they didn't even have the Holy Spirit there to comfort them and to guide them like we do today. So my point is this. Regardless of where God has put you, make the best of it. Amen. Let's make 2019 a better year than 2018 was. Regardless of our circumstances, regardless of maybe how we feel like we have been cheated or betrayed by others, Maybe we missed out on that promotion at work we thought we deserved. As we can see in the life of Joseph, physical things don't matter. All that truly matters is that we are in the will of God and we are where He wants us to be. So as we start 2019, I challenge you to put 2018 behind you. Forget your mistakes. Forget the mess ups. Look to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. How can I influence others for you in the coming year? If we stay in God's will and be obedient, He will use us like He's never used us before.